You're not going to believe this one, Grace. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it. What do you got?
Seals. Did you know that seals have been known to rape penguins?
Oh, gosh. This is terrible. Why are you starting us off this way? Okay. Stop. Stop the podcast right now. Restart it. Ready, set, go. Eric, Bob, Eric, Banana, Fana, Fof, Eric, me, Mom, Om, Eric. Eric. It's so great to see you, Eric.
The seals are so cute, but they're not. They're out there to take advantage of the penguins. I didn't know this.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take advantage of this show right now.
All right. Look. All right. I'll lighten it up a little bit, Grace.
Lighten it up a lot. Bring it up like 12 notches.
You know when you wear jeans and then you put your hands in your jeans and you wear them, and but at the bottom of
like
the
pocket. Like in pockets? Are you talking about pockets?
Yeah, when you put your hands in your pockets, at the bottom of the pocket, after a couple times, there forms this cute little ball of lint. You know what I mean?
The cute ball of lint. Sure, okay.
That ball of lint is called a NURR, a G-N-U-R-R, a NURR.
I did know that one.
You
that's
did?
Probably, yeah, that's probably the first one I've ever known. But
whatever.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the seals then.
Oh, gosh. Can we talk about trail running?
All right, fine. Let's get the show started because we got a lot to talk about from this.
Yeah,
past
me too.
Okay?
Okay.
Those poor penguins. All right. Eastern States 100 got canceled this past weekend, which hit everyone like a ton of bricks. Let's talk about the weekend on episode 76.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
All right, for one last time, for those that are just tuning in and didn't catch the very beginning.
Don't do it again.
No, I need to. This needs
no,
to get
No, you
out
don't.
There.
It doesn't
there
need
to.
To
be a lot of stuff, groups formed to try to stop this. Gosh. I need people to know that seals have been known to rape penguins.
Nobody needs to know this.
The penguins do.
Well, maybe they probably already do know. It's fine.
Everything's
let's keep
fine.
Going. Let's keep going.
So we are post Eastern States 100 weekend, the day after the weekend.
Yeah.
I was tired all day today and I didn't even do anything this weekend. I don't know. If anybody was living on the dark side of the moon, Eastern States 100 was canceled this weekend.
It was.
Yeah. At the last minute due to that BITCH Debbie.
So you have to spell that out, but you can talk. Never mind.
Well, because I'm talking to you and you're beautiful and you're a strong woman, I didn't feel right saying that word in front
but
of
you. But you can talk about
rape?
Yeah.
I don't like talking rape, but it's
then
something.
Why do you do this? Anybody who's listening and it's your first time listening because you saw this on the Eastern States 100 page, I'm so sorry. This is Eric is special. And he's actually a nice guy, just so you know.
I am nice. That's why I want to help the penguins out. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get back to the main.
The race was canceled. And I think that, I was talking to my friend Kate today, and she's kind of just gotten into trail running maybe 3 years ago, something like that, and didn't know about the history of Eastern States. And so Eastern States has just been plagued with cancellations. This is not the first time they've had a cancellation. And I think that's one of the things that made this really hard on everybody.
Yeah. And then, but this was a cancellation that had no other choice. This,
I think all three of them did. Don't
well,
you?
Yeah. Yeah. But this one is just like the bad luck and the bad timing of Debbie, the bitch, tropical storm coming up the coast. They were forecasting inches of rain that this area have never seen before.
And yeah,
I don't even know what we ended up getting. Every area, there's some, you know, towns close to me here that needed boat evacuations and stuff. We didn't get that much where I'm currently at in Wellsboro.
Yeah.
But anyway, the race could not go on. There was a, what's the word? Declaration of emergency.
Disaster. Proclamation of disaster.
Thank you for those big words. Proclamation of disaster was issued for Lycoming County, which is where a lot of the race is held. Mm-hmm. And it just couldn't happen. The race directors, Ben Mazur, he did everything possible to make this race happen with this weather coming. They changed aid station locations in case places got flooded out, which they did get flooded out. Last minute, they tried to even change it to a out and back because the whole upper north section of the course was underwater from Pine Creek flooding. And I told them that. I'm like, the one thing I think that people are going to walk away with after the frustration and the anger and the sadness goes away is you clearly showed them that every single effort was made to get this race to happen.
Yeah.
But it is in their bylaws. I don't know the lingo, but it's in the race's bylaws or in their language where if the area is under a state of emergency, there is no questions asked of why or whatever, the race does not happen. So it was an easy, although it was 40 minutes before the race started.
Yeah.
Horrible, but it's the way it was. Yeah. It was an easy decision to make and the right decision to make.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is in their bylaws for a state of emergency, and a proclamation of disaster is one step up from a state of emergency. So it's a little bit farther than that, which allows the county to tap into more resources, which it desperately needed. And I was talking to Ben late that night about it, and he had some time to simmer on it. This is just such a gem. He was very thoughtful, and I hate to give this away so early on in the episode, but he had said, you know, I was sitting there at the cookout, which we'll talk about. He's like, I was sitting there at the cookout with so many people around me having a good time and acting like it was like a family cookout. That's what it felt like. And he said, you know, we made a decision that's the decision that you would make if you were making a decision for a family member. So for anybody who would be a runner, and if they had a loved one caring for them, what decision would they make? And I think about that sometimes when I'm out at races. I think about, what would Jason want me to do right now? Would this be the smart thing that he would want me to do? Because he cares about me. And sometimes that helps me make decisions because I make crazy decisions sometimes. And I thought that was a really neat perspective. And that's definitely the truth. And the other big piece of this is we weren't the only ones out there, right? There's residents, there were people who were without water, people displaced from their homes, and the emergency personnel in that area needed to focus on the residents and not people, visitors from other lands in a race. So it was tough. So many emotions. So it was canceled. There was, for anybody listening who doesn't know about it, Eastern States 100, big, huge race. It was canceled at that point in the morning. The water was not done rising. So we knew that it hadn't crested yet. The waters were continuing to rise and parts of the course were already underwater and not passable. So that's that.
Yeah. And if anybody has been down to Little Pine State Park and seen that cute little lake, that's so calm. And if they could have seen it from where the start and finish usually is this weekend, it truly, a group of us went up there and stared at the bathrooms and the top of the roofs of the pavilions and you're looking at it with your own eyes, and it's still hard to believe how much water was in that lake. It's a, you know, this is a flood control lake, so it's meant to hold the water back, but it was insane. Absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, a lot of frustration that day, that morning. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I told my Becky and my wife, we're sitting there in the dark at 5 o'clock, right after this happened. And there's people walking around, and I can't even find the people that I want to find and I want to talk to. And it was just like, all I want to do is help people, and there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah.
It really sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard when you go through so much preparation. You know, some people may have had their eye on this prize for years, you know, never mind the last, you know, 6 to 12 months of training that most people go through. But I know some people who were there who had, you know, had attempted this before and even gone through a cancellation before, you know, 2018 and 2020. The race was also canceled, a little more notice those times, but still like heartbreaking both times. And this was their third go at it. And yeah, gosh, that's hard. That's just, it's hard. It was hard for everybody. And it's still a good decision that was made, and that doesn't make it any easier.
Nope. So I guess we can stop talking about Debbie. We can stop trying to be downers, and we can talk about how the bad news, the crappiness of the weekend was turned into not so bad stuff, I guess. So
yeah.
You know, the first thing I started hearing chatter about was, you know, what people were gonna do now and what their, you know, plan was for the day. And most people were talking about you know, trying to get a good run in since they were trained up and they're here. Mm-hmm. And you know, the worst part about the whole thing is the weekend itself was the most perfect temperatures you're ever gonna see for Eastern States type of weekend. Gosh. In August, we're talking low 70s, beautiful weather, sunny weather, and this is all after obviously the rains had come through. But that was the hardest part, was they're canceled. Yeah. And then it gets light out and it's a beautiful morning, so it's kind of hard to swallow that part of it.
Yeah, it was actually a beautiful day. So it was strange because there was a little bit of a chill in the air, a little bit of a cool breeze coming through every once in a while. And the sun was out, it was a little partly cloudy, but the water was still surging. And so it was a tough pill to swallow. I know several people went out for a run. I was intending on crewing all weekend, had no intentions of running. And ended up getting in 17 miles. So that was super fun.
Yeah, I know a big group did 50K. Quite a few people ran all the way to Heiner, which is what, 40, what's that, Grace? 44, 46 miles from the start?
That's around there, yeah.
Right around there.
Yep.
So, I mean, the trails got used on Saturday. It was kind of cool to see if you're out and about. There's people everywhere going every which way.
Yeah.
It was neat to see. And
now
was a good time. I want to give, there's four individuals that actually went out on their own and decided to do the course, the Eastern States course, on their own. And they completed the course. Adam Kolb, Josh Rollins, Gabe Bapdorf, and Anthony Arthur. And they did that on their own, you know, no aid station from the race or anything like that. And so
yeah,
good for them for finishing the whole 107 miles. I think some of them had.
Yeah. And shout out to Gabe's wife, who was only going to crew at the crewable aid stations and ended up crewing at all aid stations with two small children. So I was going to throw that out there.
Yeah. Let's back that up a little bit. Gabe went out to do the 50K. She thought she was only going out for the 50K, and then he got the 50K and said, well, let's go to the next aid station and the next aid station.
Yeah.
That's when he decided he was going to try to do the whole thing. So
good on her.
You might have some competition for best crew chiefs when it comes down to Monica Miller and Jess Baddorf for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is, and so there were some people who went out for a run. I was one of them. And I will say that before even going out, it was me, Laura, and Steve. And the three of us had said, look, if at any point it looks like we can't pass a stream of water, we're going to turn around and go back. And we also went slower than normal. Like, we took our time. We were safe out there. So there were plenty of people who went out who were definitely more cautious while they were out there. They did turn around, they went back. So I think people went out on the trails to enjoy it. The trails actually weren't in too bad of shape. It was, there were certain sections that I didn't see that were in much worse shape. I think if you had had 100 cars out there trying to crew their runners plus volunteers, it would have been a very different scenario. So the few people who went out, I think that a lot of people were much more cautious than normal.
Yeah, I saw Blackwell Aid Station, and everybody that's listening probably knows Blackwell Aid Station is the northernmost part of the loop, right along Pine Creek. And I saw that on my way home, and because I was informed that it was muddy there, and it was 4 or 5 inches of mud in the parking lot. Oof. And that's where the aid station is centered at.
Yeah.
So, things like that. It's like, yeah, this couldn't have happened. And that was at the crucial aid station. It's 80 miles into the race. You need crew at that point. You need that aid station. There's nowhere else near there to put it. So, you know, seeing just that example of, oh, they could have started the race. Oh yeah. Well, then what would have happened there? So,
right.
Just, it was like proof that it's like, boy, they made the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about, like, I have crewed there before. I've been down those roads before. Just, you know, not too long ago, I was crewing at World's End. And I remember getting to a certain spot where I was going out one way and another car was coming in. And it was like we were facing off because neither one of us had any room to move over. Like, that's what happens when you have 100 people crewing versus, you know, there's 4 people out on the course. So very, very different. Even if a couple people were able to finish it, like, good on them. Awesome on them. I don't think it's an indicator that the race should have happened. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first thing I saw when I, like, we were camping there at Little Pine State Park after, you know, an hour afterwards, some people went for a run real quick, but what the depressing part for me was sitting there camping. All I saw was people packing up. Mm-hmm. Early Saturday morning, people were packing up. Now, one, in defense of whatever reason they were leaving quickly, Becky quickly pointed out, she was like, you know, a lot of these runners that are camping here didn't come with any food. So, you know, they're running the race, which had full aid stations, a big party afterwards with food afterwards. So, like, they didn't really need to pack camping food or anything. So after the race was canceled, for them, they're like, well, I don't have breakfast, lunch, or dinner for the next 2 days, even though it's a weekend. So I get, you know, that might be part of it. It's just a disappointment. But whatever it was, it was very depressing to see the campground, a majority of the campground and campers funnel out really fast. And it got quiet on kind of quiet Saturday morning, I thought.
Yeah.
And, wow, everybody left really quick after this, you know, this news. And we got a whole weekend. It is what it is. People had their things to do.
Yeah. And I think it was interesting to see how it went for everybody. You know, one, there's practically no cell service out there. So you really couldn't coordinate anything with anybody. And then secondly, it was interesting to see. Now I'm, you know, I've been watching Facebook and watching everybody's updates because I want to see what happened. And there were people who, I know one person went back and did a 100-miler in her hometown. Yeah. And so she's like, let me pack up. Let me get out of here. I'm going to go do a 100-miler further south where that flooding had not happened and with family there. And so there was that. I think there were some people who were traveling with family, and it's tough when you've got family with you and you have, you know, maybe some young kids with you and all of a sudden the race is canceled. Well, man, maybe I'm going to take these kids home and yeah, having them here with me for a finish would have been cool, but having them here with me and there's, you know, roads that are closed and not a whole lot to do, well, it's just going to be more comfortable at home. So I saw some of that. I saw some people like saying, well, let me just hang out and see what happens. I think there was a little bit of everything. So that it was pretty wild to see. I think some people went back to their cabins and had a little mini party in their cabin, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool.
So one of the cool things that the race instantly thought of or managed to pull off was, you know, this was last minute. So all the aid station food for all the aid stations was already bought, was already in coolers, was already on their way to the aid stations. But because this disaster had happened, the flooding had happened, there's people out there that basically just had their homes washed away and or can't get home right now and this and that. So they real quick came up the idea to, you know, any aid station food that was still around that you still had in your vehicle, bring to the main start finish line, and they would get it all together and take it to a shelter that needed it, obviously that day, and disperse it as needed. And that, I mean, we're talking about quite a bit of stuff.
Pickup trucks of food.
Pickup trucks of food.
Which is great.
Right. But by doing that, you know, and we had our two vehicles full of aid station stuff because we were doing Toon Flats aid station. They did not want any perishables. So, you know, a lot of what we were taking to the aid station was real food, was frozen food. I'm going to say half of it or a quarter of it was perishable, you know, cold stuff, basically. And they just didn't have the availability to take coolers and coolers of stuff to the shelter. So we, you know, that was on us to figure out whatever we wanted to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instantly in my head, it was like, well, I'm here at the campground. Let's have a picnic, you know, let's have a get together, a cookout later in the day. And for me, it was like, there wasn't many people around at that point. I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe with the 10 or 20 people still left in the campground or hanging around here or out running, they'll show up. So I put it on the Eastern States Facebook page, and I kind of tell everybody just, hey, come on back at 5 o'clock if you're not doing anything and hang out for a little bit.
Yeah. And I finished up my 17 miles that I had run back to the campground. I figured, you know, I figured I would come back to the campground and there would be people just hanging out and I would just chill there, maybe have time to take a shower, but I would just like, there would be so many cool people to talk to. And I came back and it was like four people there. Like there, hardly anybody was there. Yeah. Cass was there. And so still cool people there. And I talked to her for quite a while, but still I thought there would be more people hanging out and there just weren't. And so I did go back to the cabin to take a shower quick. And I messaged you because I had to give you your peanut butter. And then you had messaged me, said cookout at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll go back. That was very nice of you to think of that. And we'll do a little cookout in five. But it wasn't 5 or 10 or even 30 people who came to this, Eric.
No, I wish we were better at like, let's pop up a picture to show people right now, because I didn't do any of that. But somebody at some point told me they counted like 130 or 140 people there.
Yeah.
So the people came back. A lot of people came back. And is, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty fun evening with a ton of smiles, where it's like everybody forgot the fact that this big thing was just canceled. And it was a more just family reunion atmosphere. We can definitely get into your shenanigans that you started playing, but even before those games happened, it was just, you know, groups of people talking and then intermingling. It was just really, really heartwarming to see that many people come back just for some pierogies, leftover aid station food, pierogies and bacons and stuff and things like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it was so cool. The energy was amazing. You don't sound excited, but that's how you always sound everything about everything. I'm telling you, if you're listening, Eric was just beaming. He was actually smiling from ear to ear the entire time and cooking up food for everybody. And it was just a cool, cool atmosphere. And yeah, I think it gave people a moment to forget about what they lost and to just enjoy each other's company for a little bit. And it was so cool. One of the things that was really cool about it was this race is so big that it draws in, it draws in people from all over. You know, it's a 25K. You're kind of going to get more locals because it's hard to travel that far for a 25K. But we had people from all over the place. And it was like my cool friend Schaefer got to meet my cool friend Gabe. And like, so I think people were meeting each other and making friends and telling stories. And there was so much laughter and it was loud. It was good. And it was lovely.
It was reminiscent of like a Heiner after party. I'm telling you, like, yeah. it was just good stuff. It was exactly what this trail running community exemplifies, you know?
Yeah, it was quite an experience. And I'll be interested to hear, you know, 5 years from now, what people remember from that day. And I hope that's one of the things that they remember is when this bad thing happened, we rallied together. We gave away all the food and the water to people who needed it. And then we had a little cookout and we had some shenanigans.
Yeah. Yep. And Walker just put it perfectly. A family picnic, but with family you actually like. And that's what it is. Like everybody is just loves everybody there.
It was everybody I wanted to see. Dave, it was spot on. It was a family picnic, but with family you actually like. That is what happened, and it was glorious.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I agree with you about the 5 years down the road from now. I know it was just a picnic. I know, we all could have done the same thing, but I think it was bigger than it was. I think it was big.
It was big.
It was needed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you put on a clown costume for a little bit.
Well, so the story behind that is aid station was, our theme was supposed to be circus.
Oh.
And we were all set up for that. And I had bought this beautiful clown, the blow up clown costume, you know, off Amazon, obviously. But that was going to be my part of the theme. So I wasn't going to just pack it away for another year. I had to get that thing out and try it. I've never put it on before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just fun.
Yeah. Very scary clown costume. Absolutely. Especially with that mug.
And then you came up with this idea of win it to win it style games, which was a huge hit. You had four teams of four people doing insanely funny things. And the thing I loved about it was like, it wasn't a few people trickled over to watch you do your silly games. By the end, the whole 100 plus people were watching the shenanigans that were going on and really interested in them.
it was super fun. And this is something that we do at camp every year. So I'm kind of used to pulling them together. And so I kind of had some ideas already in my head just from trying them out in camp and seeing what works and what doesn't. And so I kind of pulled together some cups and some spoons and some marshmallows and some Pringles and said, hey, let's do four teams of four. And so we had in order, Team It, Team Canada, Team Laura's Today's, and Team Idiots.
Yeah.
And so the four teams of four, we had compete in a couple of events, cup stacking and Pringle Face and marshmallow travel and the mall walk. The mall walk is the premier event, which I love doing, which is exactly how it sounds. It is speed walking with friends. And it's really fun to watch people who you know are just incredible athletes not run and to watch them try to speed walk against each other. So the mall walking is always a fun event that we enjoy.
Yeah, they were all good. I was Jennifer Kamiansky. She managed to video all of them and posted them somewhere.
Yeah.
Today or yesterday. And I was at work today watching some of the video, just like laughing to myself. And people probably had no idea what I was laughing at, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a really good time. And then there were stories by the campfire late at night. And then there was a small group of us who ended up doing karaoke across the street. And I got to see James Weaver singing karaoke and I got to dance with him. And it was like cherry on the top. It was perfect.
Yeah. And of course, Chad Brown, the Chad Brown, was there all weekend.
The Chad Brown.
Doing his Chad Brown things. And if you don't know what that means, you need to introduce yourself to Chad Brown. He's something.
He's a character.
Yeah. And he's tuning in right now. So thank you, Chad Brown, for energizing the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, I don't know. I was not entered into the race. I was crewing. And so, you know, that was, of course, an easier pill to swallow. I will say that I have had a race cancel in the past. And so I was, you know, trying to think back to when that happened to me. And it was hard, you know?
Yeah. And same here. I was doing the aid station, but I was connected to the race.
Yeah.
I told you before this started, I had 9 athletes running Eastern States. 8 of them were in the Triple Crown chase. All they had to do was finish this last race of an 8-month-long journey of training and running races. So I don't know how to fix that, the problem that they can't finish it. It's so hard. It stinks. There's nothing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think we have stories, and then we have the stories that we have yet to create. And that's what we have to look forward to. Can I tell you a story from the weekend?
Yes. Does it have to do with seals and penguins?
No, it has to do with giraffes and wild boars.
Go for it.
Okay. So years ago, Laura and I were on this run. We were running part of the Boulder Field course, which is a really fun course to run. We were just not in the race. We were just running the course. And somehow the conversation turned to, we were trying to figure out what animals we were out there. And it turned to being Timon and Pumbaa. But Timon is a muskrat. And Timon is actually much, much smaller than Pumbaa. And Laura has big, long legs. So I said she's more like a giraffe. And Pumbaa's a warthog, and I'm not like a warthog. But I do stomp around in the woods a lot. So I was more like a wild boar. So we called ourselves a giraffe and a wild boar. And our Strava activity for the day was a giraffe and a wild boar go running in the woods. So I don't know where I got this idea, but I got this idea to get a little headband for Laura that has little giraffe ears. And then I found, and it has a little giraffe tail and a little bow tie. And then I found a little wild boar, little pig ears and little piggy nose and a little bow tie and a little tail. And so I found one for myself. And here's what I was going to do as crew. If Laura was like down a little bit, or if she came into the last aid station, she needed a little pick me up. I was going to say, look, Laura, you get to be a giraffe in the woods. And I was going to give her little headband, because I knew she would be excited to be a giraffe in the woods. And I would have my little piggy tail, and I would be a little wild boar in the woods. And so that didn't happen. And we were coming into the race morning, going into registration, and we're hearing from people that it canceled. And then we get to the race, and like, yes, it's actually canceled. And so Laura turns to me and she goes, well, you want to go for a run? And I said, sure, I'll go for a run. I brought all my stuff just in case. And then I turned to her and I said, I wasn't going to tell you about this until later. But then I told her about the drive, and she was so excited. And it kind of felt like we both realized the energy we were giving was not the same energy as everybody else in the room. Cause everybody's like super solemn. And then there's me and Laura just laughing hysterically, and her jumping up and down. And she jumps pretty high, cause big, long legs. And so, but we're trying to make light of a tough situation. Right. She's rightfully bummed about the whole thing, you know, because now it's setting in. But anyway, so we decide to do this run as a giraffe and a wild, and we wear the giraffe the entire time. And we see hikers along the way, and we have to remind ourselves, like, oh, I have ears on my head. We look a little ridiculous. And we had fun in the woods trying to, you know, cope. This was our coping mechanism. And Laura and Steve decided to continue on. And I said, you know what, I'm going to stop where I'm at right now. 17 miles is good for me. I don't have a headlamp with me. And, you know, I didn't want to continue on at my pace. And so I could send them off to go at their pace. And so I break off and I'm going to take the road back because, you know, the kind of loops around and then you can kind of take the road back and easy peasy. It's like 3-4 miles on the road. And I'm not 2 minutes down the road and this pickup truck pulls up alongside me and they say, this guy says, "What are you?" So I respond back and I say, "All right, so I'm a wild boar. I used to have a giraffe with me, and that made a lot more sense when there were two of us. There was a wild boar and a giraffe. Now I just look ridiculous." And so he goes, "I have so many questions. I'm going to pull over. Do you need a ride?"
That's awesome.
So these guys were locals with the electric company. They're helping get everything, you know, the set up and all that. And they have cabins in the area. So and I was like, "Yeah, I'll take a ride." And so I hop in the back and he goes, "You don't seem the type, but do you want a beer?" And I was like, "Absolutely." Cause I just got finished doing 17 tough miles on the trail. Right. And he goes, "Well, we'll go back in that cooler, a can of Genesee." And I would not have an open container in a car at all. So I waited until I was in a good spot to have that beverage, but I did. And it was delicious. And they said, the guys before they dropped me off, they said, "You know, I never would have pulled over and given you a ride this 4 miles," which, you know, I would have done the miles. That's fine. But 4 miles on the road, it's not super exciting compared to the trail. And so, so the guys, "I never would have picked you up had you not had those ears on. And I wanted to know what you were." So there you go. If you need a ride, that's all you got to do. Put on some little ears and you'll pick up a ride much easier.
You sure they weren't staring at your tail?
They might have been staring at the tail. I think it was a combination. Mm-hmm. I think the ears really drew them in. Tail sealed the deal.
Yeah, the tail definitely sealed the deal. That's
a good one. Oh my gosh. It was a good story and they were super nice guys. They were really friendly. So, I got a ride back to my car. So that was nice. But that was the whole weekend. The whole weekend was just like these cool stories like that, you know, doing karaoke afterwards was just such a blast. It's so fun.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, it turned into a pretty fun weekend, really. Still a lot of people trying to figure out what they want to do. And I guess that's a good time to mention. I don't know where this was mentioned at, but Athlete of Mine said that Virgil Crest Ultra is offering 50% off for, I'm assuming, runners that were registered for Eastern States. For those that don't know, Virgil Crest Ultra, that's in New York. I believe there's a couple different distances, but there is a 100 miler, and it went on for a while and then it took a break and now it's been back for the past couple of years, 2 or 3 years, I believe, but everything I've always heard about it, it's been on my bucket list. Mm-hmm. So anybody who is listening that still doesn't know what to do with their life from what happened this past weekend. And if you still want to use your fitness or something, you might want to look into that deal wherever it's posted or reach out to the race director.
Yeah, there were a couple of cool races brought up. I was while I was on my run, I ran into Dave, not literally, but figuratively ran into Dave Walker, and he looked at his phone and he's like, "People keep signing up for Black Forest."
So he
still has space in Black Forest. That's another one that's right around the corner, and also a tough race that would be good to put some of that training into. And then I selfishly, as I was talking to people, I was like, "Well, you know, if you want to beat up your quads, you can still register for Slopeside Slumber Party because I got space." And sure enough, I had quite a few people, including a couple of your athletes, sign up for Slopeside. So I'm excited for them to get some burnt.
That's awesome. And yeah, that's this coming Saturday night, right?
Yeah, this coming Saturday night, and the women's field is looking pretty stout.
Nice. Got a race on your hands, huh?
There is a race afoot. And it's interesting to see. I don't know why. I don't know why this is, but I don't feel like I've done anything to warrant this, but I get pretty much a 50-50 split for gender. Right. And so there's 41 men, 39 women in the race right now.
That's awesome. Really
close. Yeah. Yeah. So still waiting to see if Jim Blanford does a last minute registration. We'll see if he comes. He'd probably be a race day. We'll see. But some great runners and some other folks who are definitely coming for the party side of it, and everybody's welcome. So
how long is the event?
3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah. Three. And it's like, I've even talked to them about doing more time, but there's so much vert in such a short, you know, it's only a mile and a half with 600 feet. And so within 3 hours, you can rack up some vert pretty quick.
Right.
I don't even know if it would be enjoyable if you had more time out there.
I mean, enjoyable is a loose term.
Yeah. Oh, and anybody who's traveling, we do have through, because the race is through the York Roadrunners Club, which is a nonprofit. And we did get a group camping site at Pincho Campground, which is only like 7 minutes from the course. So there's free camping all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Pincho has lots of trails and fun stuff to do at that lake. So you can camp for free for the whole weekend.
What a deal.
Yep.
All right. What else you got? Anything?
Oh my gosh. It was just, it was a weekend full of emotions. You know, I have a couple of, this has just been every single weekend. I've been so busy, and that is coming to a close soon. And I'm excited to spend a little more time with some Mullet Chronicles soon. And I've got two lined up right now, but I'll be interested to see if anybody sends me their race report or weekend or non-race report from this past weekend, because I think that might be interesting to add to the Mullet Chronicles.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I thought so.
So we did, I mean, something we haven't talked about at all in the past 2 weeks, and we probably should, because it's a big part of what's been going on, is the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I believe that's how we left it with you. Next Monday's show is going to be the Olympic show.
Yeah, I found one of my favorite moments. I had so many good moments this past weekend, but one of my favorite moments, I came in, I was walking up to the cookout and I was talking with somebody, and then Lauren came over. Oh, because you gave her a message to give to me, and then I gave her a message to give to you. And then you get, and so she was doing
that. We try not to talk when we're
I'm actually not interested in ever talking to you in person ever again. Yeah. But so you sent your daughter to talk to me, and then she was standing there, and I know she is a runner herself, and she tends to follow running. I know she reads books about running and that kind of stuff. She's pretty educated about the topic. And so I asked her, I said, "Hey, have you been following the Olympics?" And she's like, "Oh, absolutely." And we had this good 20-30 minute conversation about the Olympics, and I stopped and I was like, you know, we really should be doing this as an episode, because between the two of us, she had perspective that she knew about some stuff that I didn't know about. I knew about some stuff that she didn't know about, and it was just a really, really cool conversation. And it was great to hear her perspective too, because she's in it right now. You know, she competes. And she had just got done with a running camp. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the conversation, and now we have to do an Olympics episode with, one of the other COSECs.
Yeah. So I will be replaced once again, fourth time out of 5 weeks that I'll be replaced by another female, as a co-host on this show next week is the plan. So it should be a really fun time. I'm sure she's looking forward to it, and it does deserve to be talked about, because it was a pretty phenomenal Olympics, I thought.
Yeah, so many great moments. I can't wait to talk about it. I've been studying. I need to take some notes. It's going to be a really fun episode. Even if you haven't been following the Olympics, I think it's going to be a cool episode. So,
yeah. Yep. Agreed. So I guess that's where we'll end, Grace. I mean, the Eastern States didn't happen. Let's move on from here.
Yeah. There's so many other fun things coming. And, you know, we keep cruising along. That's what we do in this sport. And I've heard this from a couple of different people before. And I don't remember who I first heard it from. But when you're in an ultra and you come across a problem, it's not about how to eliminate all the problems in ultras. It's about how do you handle problems when they do come along. And that's what this weekend was. How does this trail running community, how do we manage through those obstacles when they come along? Well, we have a family cookout. That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Yeah, I know. We know what you're doing this weekend. You're running your Slopeside Summer Party.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm doing.
Who knows? Okay. Okay. Leave it a surprise. That's all right. I think, you know what I want to hear? This is homework. I want to hear what's next on your calendar. You know, I have Baker 50 miler coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm excited for Baker. I'm glad that I got a training run in, honestly, this past weekend, to get ready for Baker. But I want to know what's on your horizon, buddy. I want to hear what you're excited about. It doesn't have to be like an A goal or an A race, but I want to hear what's in that little noggin of yours. What's rattling around?
All right. Can you give me a week?
Yeah.
Okay. You give me a week, I will give you solid answer that's going to have details about what's on my horizon. How's that?
Yes. I love it. Deal. Yeah.
Well, Grace, it was great seeing you in person, even though we don't, mm-hmm. we avoid talking to each other, making eye contact, because it'd be weird.
Right. Yeah, I don't like it.
But it was great seeing you this past weekend, and thank you for your help at the picnic and playing the games. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We're a pretty good team, even when we're not on the computer screens.
We are. Thanks to you and to Becky for putting together the cookout to begin with. That was just awesome. And can't say enough about this weekend. It, like I said, I don't want to discount like the loss that plenty of runners are feeling right now, but I think we held it together and managed through it as best we could. And you did awesome. And I love seeing you. It's good stuff.
Good stuff. Agreed. All right. We'll see everybody next Monday.
Okay. Monday. Yeah.
Find those. There's plenty of races out there, plenty of opportunities. Yeah. Pick one. And if you don't want to pick a race, go do a freaking FKT somewhere. There's plenty of long ones of those, and you're in great shape. So get it done.
Yes. Go do an FKT. Go do something fun. And if you can't do any of those things, at least tune in every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time to come see us and like us on the YouTubes and on the Facebooks and leave us comments and reviews on the iTunes, because it feeds the algorithm monster and we super love that. Thank you, everybody. See you. Bye.